ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नास्तप्रयेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 21 वर्स 10। को न वश्य कीर्तिं न शृणोति अभिज्ञो को न वश्य कीर्तिं न शृणोति अभिज्ञो यद् विक्रमोचिष्टं अशेषभूपः यद् विक्रमोचिष्टं अशेषभूपः लोकसफला उपजीवन्ति कामां लोकसफला उपजीवन्ति कामां अद्यापि तन्मे वदकर्म शुद्धम् को न वश्य कीर्तिं न शृणोति अभिज्ञो यद् विक्रमोचिष्टं अशेषभूपः लोकसफला उपजीवन्ति कामां अद्यापि तन्मे वद कर्म शुद्धम् को न वश्य कीर्तिं न शृणोति अभिज्ञो यद् विक्रमोचिष्टं अशेषभूपः लोकसफला उपजीवन्ति कामां अद्यापि तन्मे वद कर्म शुद्धम् कः हु नु बट अस्य किं पृथु कीर्तिं ग्लोरियस एक्टिविटीज न शृणोति डज नॉट हियर अभिज्ञः इंटेलिजेंट यत् हिज विक्रम शिवलरी उच्चिष्टम रेमिनेंस अशेष इन्यूमरेबल भूपः किंग्स लोकः प्लैनेट्स सापलः विद देयर डेमिगॉड्स उपजीवन्ति एग्जीक्यूट लाइवलीहुड कामाम डिजायर्ड ऑब्जेक्ट्स अद्यापि अप टू दैट तत् दैट मी ऑन टू मी वद प्लीज स्पीक कर्म एक्टिविटीज शुद्धम ऑस्पिशियस। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। प्रीतु महाराज वॉज सो ग्रेट इन हिज एक्टिविटीज एंड मैग्नानिमस इन हिज मेथड ऑफ रूलिंग दैट ऑल द किंग्स एंड डेमिगॉड्स ऑन द वेरियस प्लैनेट्स स्टिल फॉलो इन हिज फुटस्टेप्स। Who is there who will not try to hear about his glorious activities? I wish to hear more and more about Prithu Maharaj because his activities are so pious and auspicious. Please repeat. Prithu Maharaj was so great in his activities and magnanimous in his method of ruling that all the kings and demigods on the various planets still follow in his footsteps. Who is there who will not try to hear about his glorious activities? I wish to hear more and more about Prithu Maharaj because his activities are so pious and auspicious. Purport. Saint Vidura's purpose in hearing about Prithu Maharaj over and over again was to set an example for ordinary kings and executive heads who should all be inclined to hear repeatedly about Prithu Maharaj's activities in order to also be able to rule over their kingdoms and or states very faithfully for the peace and prosperity of the people in general. Unfortunately, at the present moment, no one cares to hear about Prithu Maharaj or to follow in his footsteps. Therefore, no nation in the world is either happy or progressive in spiritual understanding, although that is the sole aim and objective of human life. Om Agnanati Mirandashya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagajatam Sahaganaragunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prashatate Shatarine Vanchakalpatarobhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. Prithu Maharaj was so great in his activities and magnanimous in his method of ruling that all the kings and demigods on the various planets still follow in his footsteps. And so who is saying this? Vidura is saying. So Vidura is mentioning this, asking, inquiring about Prithu Maharaj to Maitreya Muni. So he's showing his eagerness to hear more and more about Prithu Maharaj, who is a pure devotee and who is the Satyavesha Avatara of the Lord himself. So he is showing his eagerness about hearing about Prithu Maharaj because he was great, he was Lord himself. So he's saying that still follow in his footsteps. Who is there who will not try to hear about his glorious activities? I wish to hear more and more about Prithu Maharaj because his activities are so pious and auspicious. So, we understand that from this whole section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the main focus is on the life activities of Prithu Maharaj. So, Prithu Maharaj is not an ordinary personality. And to understand personality, we need to understand, especially like who is the Lord himself, who is the Satyavesha Avatara of the Lord. So, he is like Jiva was empowered to perform a particular function in this material world. So he's specially empowered. So any empowered personality, we should understand the appearance of that personality as well, and activities of this. So it is mentioned, Vidura is saying, who will not try to hear about his glorious activities? So by understanding the activities of a great personality, we can understand how that personality is, what is the qualification of that personality. It is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvata tyaktva deyam puna janma naiti mamiti sho arjuna. So one who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities will transcend this material world after leaving this body. So one has to understand the appearance and activities of great personalities, especially if he is like an incarnation of Lord. So just trying to understand what happened at the time of birth of Maharaj Prithu. We all have gone through this pastime so many times. But still, as Vidura is saying, again and again, even if we hear the activities and pastimes of the Lord again and again, it is still relishing. It never becomes boring. We chant the holy names of the Lord. Like many of the devotees chant 16 rounds, 20 rounds, 24 rounds, 32 rounds, right? So it's the same Mahamantra which has got, Prabhupada mentions, there are only three syllables in the Mahamantra: Hare, Krishna and Rama. But still, devotees every day, year after year, keep on chanting the names of the Lord and never get bored or tired. It is ever relishing. It is refreshing. So there is a potency in the holy name. There is a potency in the pastimes of the Lord. So even if we are hearing the same pastime again and again and again, it never gets boring. It is always relishing. It is always refreshing. And it is always purifying. And that is what Vidura is mentioning. His activities are so pious and auspicious. So it creates auspiciousness. Anywhere where the glories of the Lord and His devotees are narrated, that place becomes auspicious. That place becomes pious. So Vidura is asking, please narrate to me again and again. So at the time of birth of Maharaj Prithu, what happened? Anyone can quickly? How was he born? You know? How was Prithu Maharaj born? Yes. By Vena. How did he give birth to Prithu Maharaj? Yeah, churning of his hand. But before that, something else happened as well. Just before that. Before Prithu Maharaj and Arshi were born, who was born? His brother, Bahuka. So how was Bahuka born? Yeah. So first, the churning of the legs happened. So Prabhupada in that section mentioned, in those purport, mentions that the brahmanas, the sages who were performing these rites, they knew the process of invoking auspiciousness, invoking the Lord, invoking the presence of the Lord. So how is Lord coming? Like, before Lord has to take birth, the place has to be purified. The place has to be free from sinful reaction. So that is why the brahmanas created this bahuka from the thighs of King Vena's body. And who was Bahuka? He was sinful personified. He took away all the sins. He took away all the sins from the body of King Vena. Because King Vena was very sinful. And that is why the brahmanas had to curse him to kill. Just by the curse, they killed King Vena. So he was full of sin. So before Lord can appear, the sins had to be, the body of King Vena had to be purified. So they created Bahuka, who was sin personified. And when Bahuka was born, he was asked to sit down. So that is why sit down means nisida. So he was asked, and he started the race of Nishad race. And he was asked to go. But giving birth to Bahuka, the body of King Vena was purified. And then again the brahmanas churned the right hand of Vena, and Maharaj Prithu was born and Archi was born. How many people are born of the dead body? No one, right? So the appearance of Maharaj Prithu is not ordinary. He is the supreme incarnation, is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So it is not ordinary. So we can understand this personality whom we are speaking about in Bhagavatam is not some ordinary personality whose biography has been mentioned or some novel has been written on him. No, this is the Supreme Lord himself. And so this is very important for us to understand. Like when we know the greatness of a personality, automatically we have got respect for that personality and we will try to follow in the footsteps of that personality. So, Bahuka was born and then the place was purified and then Maharaj Prithu was born. Similarly, when we see the similar pastime happening when Lord Krishna himself was born. So before Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki, there were six other children who were born and were killed. And Prabhupada mentions in the purports saying that those six children were lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion and madness. So those were the six children. Kama, Krodha, Moha, Lobha, Mada and Matsarya. So these are the six children who were born before Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram appeared in the womb of Devaki. And before Krishna was born, Lord Balaram appeared in the womb to purify the place. So we see the similar instance happening in Lord Krishna's pastime as well. So it is very important that before we get devotional service, before we get to devotional service, anartha nivritti needs to take place. Krishna. So anartha nivritti needs to take place before we see the effect of devotional service happening. And this anartha nivritti can only take place when all the when we are performing devotional service or when we are chanting attentively. We see in Krishna's pastime, Krishna killed many asuras. Krishna killed, and all these asuras who were killed by Krishna, they represent some of the anarthas. Each of the asura represents one anartha that Krishna killed. But there are two asuras whom Krishna did not kill. And those asuras were, do you know? Whom did Krishna did not kill? Yeah. And they were killed. They were killed by someone but not Krishna. Pralambasura, who said that? Yeah. Pralambasura was killed by Lord Balaram. And who was the other demon who was killed by Lord Balaram? Denukasura. So these were the two demons whom Krishna did not kill. But for rest of the demons, Krishna killed. So what do we understand? What does Denukasura represent? He represents gross materialistic intelligence and ignorance of spiritual knowledge. So we need to understand that these two things, Denukasura and Pralambasura, were killed by Lord Balaram and not Krishna. So Krishna will help us overcome all the other anarthas. But these two things, one is Denukasura, which represents ignorance of spiritual knowledge, and Pralambasura, which represents lusty inclinations, desire for personal gain and honor. We have to get rid of them ourselves. We have to endeavor to get rid of them ourselves. With the help of devotees, with the help of our spiritual master. And Lord Balaram represents spiritual master. So that is why Krishna says he will help us get rid of all the other anarthas, but we'll have to endeavor ourselves. So we have to gain knowledge, spiritual knowledge. We have to try to endeavor, and that is why we recite Srimad Bhagavatam every morning, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavate Uttam Sloka Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Whatever is troublesome on the path of devotional service is removed by Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By daily reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and associating with the devotees Bhagavata. The point is anartha nivritti is required. And there are three stages in our spiritual life. The first stage is the sadhana bhakti. So sadhana bhakti, So the first stage is sadhana bhakti, the second stage is bhava bhakti, and the third stage is prema bhakti. So in the sadhana bhakti stage, what happens? As soon as one starts performing devotional service, two things happen. That is kleshagni and subhada. Everything that is inauspicious starts to klesh agni. Agni means fire. Starts to burn off. Whatever is inauspicious in our life starts to burn off. And subhada. Subhada means auspicious things manifest in our life. So that is the result of sadhana bhakti. And when we perform sadhana bhakti, we come to the stage of bhava bhakti. And two things happen at bhava bhakti platform also. The first thing is sandrananda visheshatma, which means one starts to feel blissful. Sandrananda visheshatma, one starts to feel joy in his spiritual life, in his material life. And the second thing which happens is moksha lagukrit. One does not even desire for liberation. At the stage of sadhana, most of the people want to become liberated. But when one performs pure devotional service, he comes to the platform of bhava where he does not even desire for liberation, moksha lagukrit. Liberation is insignificant. And then the last stage or the topmost stage of bhakti is prema bhakti. And in prema bhakti also two things happen. The first thing is sudurlabha. It's very rare that one gets that kind of stage. It's very durlabha. Durlabha means very rare. And the last thing that happens is Shri Krishna Akarshani, where Lord himself is attracted to the devotee. The Lord becomes attracted. Lords want to see you. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj says, don't try to see the Lord. Do something where the Lord wants to see you. So this is the quality of a devotee where he performs the activities in such a way that Lord desires to see that person. So we see in Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned there are three gates which lead to hell. Anyone knows which are the three gates which lead to hell? Right. Lust, anger and greed. And as we mentioned in Krishna's appearance also in that pastime, the six enemies were destroyed. And even in this pastime we see all the Bahuka took away all those sinful reactions. So as Krishna mentions, lust, anger and greed needs to be destroyed. And the amount to which a devotee gets rid of these three enemies, to that amount he will realize God. To that amount he will progress in his spiritual life. So it is very important that one tries and endeavors to get rid of lust, anger and greed. So lust represents pralambasura. So one has to endeavor himself to get rid of these activities. And we see in this today's world, this greed is artificially created. It's not something which one is born with. So there is a saying, there is enough for everyone's need, but there is not sufficient for everyone's greed. So the only reason there is scarcity of things is just because people are greedy. Everyone wants more and more. And we see it's been controlled by the government. Actually, these big commercial industries, they control the food grains. They do not release. And in US, there is a statistic that about 40 to 50% of the foodstuffs are thrown into the ocean because it's not been consumed. So they throw all those foodstuffs into ocean instead of feeding the poor people. And why do these big commercials don't release all this foodstuff into market? Because then the prices of this foodstuff will go down, will drop. So that is why they artificially create this shortage. And when the shortage is created, what happens? People become fearful. We won't get things. So they accumulate. And that greed comes into play. As we see in Australia, one of the hottest topic these days is property market. And we see the property market in Australia is one of the very expensive. Properties in Australia are not so cheap. They come under the top 10 places in the world where properties are so expensive. And how much, I was reading the statistics, only 10% of the property of the land in Australia is been habitated. 90% of the land is not even touched. So how is it possible that only 10% of the land in Australia which is used and the property prices are so high? So that tells something, like this has been controlled by the government. The government is not allowing people to live where they want to live. If the government releases all the land that is available in Australia, then the property prices will be free. It is mentioned the density of population in Australia is 3 persons per kilometer. That much land we have got, where 3 persons can have 1 kilometer of land, 1 square kilometer of land. So imagine if each one of us had 1 kilometer of land or 300 meters square of land, do we need to have any property prices so high? No, right? But it has been created. The government is restricting people to live everywhere, anywhere they want to. And that is why we see, like, there are properties which are worth millions of dollars. So this is how the government is. And there is a fear, like, when the government does not release land, people think, I will miss out, or my kids will miss out on land, and they start buying. And more, and most of the people buy more than one property. They are not satisfied with one. They buy more than one property. And because there's a fear created. If the property prices goes too high, how will my sons, my daughters will be able to afford? So let me buy more. And also they have got the tax system in place which supports that buying. Only if you buy the property, then only you can claim it on tax. Otherwise you cannot claim on tax, or you pay high tax. So that is why they're forcing people to buy. And when you force people to buy, what happens? There is scarcity of land. And then there is fear. And the property prices go up. So it is all artificial. The whole economy that this government is running is artificial. There is no need. If everyone goes to the remote places, the countryside, there is enough land for everyone. As I mentioned in the statistics, it's mentioned there is 1 kilometer of land for 3 people to live in. So there is enough. But just because the government is controlling this, they have created this scarcity, and there's a greed which is created by the government. We see again the contrast in the life of Maharaj Prithu, that how when he was born, there were there were ceremonies which took place. The singers from Gandharva Loka were singing. There were sages, forefathers, personality, even Lord Brahma appeared at the time of his birth. So, and when these reciters, these professional reciters were singing the glories of Maharaj Prithu, what did Maharaj Prithu do? He told them, do not sing of my glories because I haven't done anything. So this is the contrast. This is, we see the humility of Maharaj Prithu. He was not ready to accept the glories. He just said, don't speak about my glories because I haven't done anything. So another thing we see, the qualities of Maharaj Prithu is, he took up the bow and arrow and he was ready to shoot Mother Earth. And at that time Mother Earth appeared before him, trembling, begging for forgiveness in the form of a cow. And so again we see how many of the Kshatriyas these days we see who are ready to do that kind of a task for the people in general. He was not concerned about his own self, but when he saw that his citizens are starving to death, he took up this mission. We see again the similar pastime where Parikshit Maharaj took up the bow and arrow and he was ready to kill Kali personified, Time himself. And Time was fearful, Kali was fearful and back to Maharaj Parikshit and surrendered on to Maharaj Parikshit. So these are the kings who are great personalities. They were so strong that they could even challenge Mother Earth. They could even challenge Time personified. So these are the Kshatriyas that we need, and these are the Kshatriyas that we need to study. Today's Kshatriyas need to follow in their footsteps. Because if If we don't follow into the footsteps, if we don't have the knowledge of these personalities, then one will not be able to rule, one will not be, Prabhupada mentions this, unless one studies these personalities, one will not be able to administer, one will not be able to do justice in the human society. And so what did he initially do? As soon as he saw that there was hunger, there was scarcity of food grains, he challenged Mother Earth. And he performed the sacrifices. And after performing sacrifices, Mother Earth was producing enough for everyone. Second thing he did was, he flattened the land. So when he saw that people were not living properly, he flattened the land. He created so much sufficient land for everyone to live in. Third thing he did was, he created jobs. As per each and every varna and ashrama, he created facilities so everyone was engaged in his proper duty. So this is another thing which we see which is lacking. People are not engaged in their appropriate duties. We see most of Kalav Sudra, Sambhavat, like everyone is born as a Sudra in Kali Yuga. But that's why we have got ISKCON, which is a society Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada has created, to create the class of Brahmanas, where one can study the scriptures, where one has got knowledge of spiritual understanding, and then they can control, they can guide the society. So this is the important point, that the citizens need to be engaged as per their varnas and ashrams in appropriate duties. And it is mentioned, the citizens were satisfied with him as the king. So this is another point which we have to understand. How many of us are satisfied with the rulers who are, or the government who is ruling? Everyone is cursing. Anywhere in the world you go, if you ask if they are satisfied with the rulers, and they will not agree with that, right? This is because the government is not giving facilities to the extent they are charging taxes and funds. They're extracting, and it is mentioned in Bhagavatam, like the government will plunder the people in Kali Yuga. They will charge heavy taxes and not provide any facilities. So this is the problem with today's society. Whereas in this, at the time of Maharaj Prithu, citizens were happy with him. And same we see in any of the societies in the Vedic system, with Maharaj Parikshit or Lord Ram, everyone was happy. And that is why we say, we should have Rama Rajya. Rama Rajya means that we should have peace and prosperity in the society, not Lord Ram ruling, but we should. So Prabhupada makes this statement, everyone wants Rama Rajya, but without Lord Ram. So how is it possible that you can have Rama Rajya without Lord Ram? So one has to accept the authority, one has to surrender to the Lord if he wants to enjoy. And that is why it is mentioned here, one can only become, Prabhupada gives in the purport. So, Prithu Maharaj ought to follow in his footsteps. Therefore, no nation in the world is either happy or progressive in spiritual understanding, although that is the sole aim and objective of human life. So, the aim of human life is to become happy and progressive in spiritual life. But because they are not accepting the authority of the Lord himself, they are not progressing and they are not happy in the spiritual life. Another thing, what was different in Maharaj Prithu's example is, he was following the authority. Even though he was Lord himself, but still he followed the authority of Lord Brahma. As he was performing 100 sacrifices, and he saw that he was not successful in performing 100 sacrifices because of Indra, and he was capable of killing Indra. But as soon as Lord Brahma suggested that he give up this idea of performing 100 sacrifices, he gave up that idea. He did not want to perform. So this is the quality of a devotee, that he follows the authority. He followed the authority of Lord Brahma. And in Bhagavatam we see there are examples, there are pastimes after pastimes where anyone who has followed the authority of his superiors have been successful. One of the examples we studied in the beginning of this canto was Dhruva Maharaj. He followed the authority of his mother Suniti, and then And then his spiritual master, Narad Muni, and he became successful at the age of 7. And then there is another pastime in Bhagavatam of Indra, who offended his spiritual master. So once Indra, when he was sitting with his wife, and he was been glorified by the Gandharvas, so he became so maddened in the glorification of the Gandharvas that when his spiritual master Brihaspati came, he just ignored him. And Brihaspati could understand that this is because of pride Indra has got, and he left the place. And after Brihaspati leaves the heavenly planet, he hides himself, and Indra could understand that his piety had gone. He was not feeling the same joy. So, and at that time, when the demons attacked, they lost the battle. They had to, in fact, flee the heavenly planets. So this is the result of one not following the authority. So Bhagavatam gives different examples where if one follows the authority, he becomes successful, even though he's not completed his process. And so here Prithu Maharaj did not complete 100 sacrifice, but still he got the end goal of any sacrifice is to have darshan of the Lord. And even after he did not finish 100 sacrifice, but still by following the instruction given by Lord Brahma, he got the darshan of the Lord. Lord Vishnu personally appeared before him and blessed him. So this was the result of Prithu Maharaj following the authority. And another point it is mentioned that Vidura mentions is all the kings and demigods on various planets still follow in the footsteps of Prithu Maharaj. So this was the process in Vedic system where everyone used to follow in the footsteps of the successful people. And this is also the process given in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It is mentioned one has to, the process that we follow is following the Raganuga Bhakti is the goal. Sadhana Bhakti should lead to Raganuga Bhakti, which is spontaneous love for the Lord. And the Raganuga Bhakti means following the footsteps of Ragatmika Bhakta. Those devotees who are already Nitya Siddha devotees or who are successful. So that is the process. So here Vidura is also mentioning the same thing, that everyone still follows the process in the footsteps of Maharaj Prithu. And in the end, it is mentioned, Vidura mentions the sole aim of, Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, the sole aim of human life is to be happy. And how can one be happy? By performing tapodivyam. It is mentioned by Rishabdev in 5th canto. Nayam deho deya bhajam na loke kastam kamam arhate vidbhujam ye. Tapodivyam putraka yena satvam sudhyad yashmat brahma saukhyam tamanantam. So, one who has got this birth, human form, narloke, one who has got this human form of body, one should not waste in useless hard labor. Because the result of hard labor is even received by vidbhujamye, by the hogs on the street. So by performing hard labor, one gets food, one gets big house, but everything that the happiness that one gets is even received by hogs. So one should not waste his human life in just hard-earned labor. But what should one do? Tapo divyam. One should utilize his life in transcendental austerity, and by which suddhya diyashmat brahma saukhyam. One will become transcendentally happy. And that's exactly what's mentioned here, that to get happiness, one should perform. One should be progressive in his spiritual understanding. One should endeavor to perform devotional service and enhance his spiritual understanding. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, bro. Okay, the question is, when we are performing sadhana bhakti, the anarthas go away. And again we see from time to time the anarthas again come back. So it is mentioned, when we start performing sadhana bhakti, when we start performing devotional service, kleshagni, as I mentioned, kleshagni and subhada take place. But at certain point we commit offenses. And the result of those offenses is there is a hurdle which comes. Because we have to understand this anarthas are not something which are coming up from this life. They're coming up from millions of lifetimes. And it's not easy. There are two kinds of anarthas. Some of the anarthas are superfluous, which means like they are on the surface. Like many of the devotees who come into Krishna consciousness, initially they were eating meat, they had some bad habits, smoking, drinking alcohol, or they were eating onion, garlic, right? So when they start chanting, those vices automatically go away. Because some of the anarthas are just from this life. So they automatically go away. We don't even have to work hard for that. But there are some anarthas which are there from lifetimes after lifetimes. The example is given, if you are washing a cloth, your clothes are dirty, you can just dip them in water for a few times and some of the dirt will go away easily. But there are some stains which are hard on, like hardcore stains. For that you need to use detergent. You need to wash rigorously. Only then it will go away. So some of the anarthas go away straight away. Some of the anarthas are there from lifetimes which take time. So this is one of the points. The second point is, even though some of the anarthas go away, because of our offenses to the other, there are 10 offenses that we chant. And the 11th offense is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives is, inattentive chanting. And because of our slackness or inattentiveness in chanting, we are not able to achieve the same result that one should achieve by pure chanting. It's interesting. It is mentioned. So there are five effects. Jiva Goswami mentions this. There are five effects of the offenses in the process of devotional service. The first one is crookedness. One becomes crooked. Even while performing devotional service, he becomes crooked. He becomes crooked in the dealings with the devotees. The second one is faithlessness. Over a period of time, one may be chanting for so many years, but at some point he feels faithless. He feels, does God really exist? Does this process work? And so that is because of the offenses we create, the 10 offenses which we know. And then there is absorption in objects that erode one's faith in the Lord. So one becomes attached to those objects. So that is the result of offenses. Fourth is slackness is in devotion. One becomes lazy. We have been chanting for so long, the process is not working. It's okay, I've been chanting in the morning for so many years, let me chant. Slowly, the process, we are not so strict in the following the process as we were before. As a new devotee, we have got enthusiasm. But as we grow older devotees, few years, we become, okay, let's chant in the afternoon, evening, or let's chant with doing something else. So there is slackness which comes. And then the last but, which is the biggest one, is pride arising from one's own devotional service. So that is one of the biggest which comes, and this is the last snare of Maya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that when a devotee progresses in his spiritual life, at one point, he comes to the stage where the pride which arises from his own devotional service stops his devotional service. As soon as one thinks, I am an advanced devotee, or I am an older devotee, or I am superior devotee, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions this, he is the fallen devotee. He's fallen into the process. So, these are the reasons why one falls down in his spiritual life. Raghunadas Goswami, if you read Manasiksha in the 7th verse, he mentions about this last one, pride. He says, the pride is compared to the outcast woman, dog-eating woman, who destroys your bhakti. Shameless woman who destroys your bhakti. So this is what the pride does. So that is why when we are, as a new devotee, we are able to give up many of the anarthas. But as soon as we grow older in our sadhana, we become, the pride enters, the crookedness enters, the faithlessness enters, laziness enters. So all these things stop our bhakti. And the anarthas again pop out. Because even though those anarthas are, appear to have gone, but they are sitting in the heart, because of the power of bhakti, power of holy name, they are submerged into the core of the heart. But as soon as the bhakti becomes slackened, they again pop up. So the process is, we always have to be enthusiastic. Utsaha nishya dhairyat. Srila Rupa Goswami gives the process. Utsaha nishya dhairyat tat tat karma pravatanat. One should be always enthusiastic. One should be determined. One should be patient. And follow the rules and regulations strictly. And automatically, one will progress in spiritual life. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.